Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day or maybe night. This ministry is just what God had is laid on my heart to and this website that God laid on my heart to do. The motto is, if one person is reached, it's all that matters. Don't ask no money for this website. All the content on this is free to use. So if you hear something, run with it. It's a voice calling out into the wilderness. And when I use that word wilderness, I'm here in America. I'm referring to America here. Calling out to her and to her churches so they will get the point before it's too late that God is number one. He should be center of our lives, and everything else comes second. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he must increase. He's speaking of Jesus Christ here. And I pray that that's your prayer. That when people see you, they see Jesus. As a nation, as America, which has and is turning her back on God, don't think it isn't. We have to be, when people say God today in America, we have to ask them, what God are they referring to? When you see those referring to God, they're not referring to the same God of the Bible. Bible literacy when I last looked at it, is huge here in America. And biblical worldview is at 2% here. Last study I looked at, about 2% have a biblical worldview, meaning 2% of the population in America views Scripture, God's holy word, applicable to their life. Meaning when they make decisions, they don't base it on what God's word says, they base it on what this world says. And I'm telling you, that's when we see and we look at everything around us, it explains a lot. We remove God out of our business models. We remove God out of our family. And the God of the Bible, true biblical truth, right, is being removed from majority of churches here in America. And yes, that is not popular. And I'm not here to be popular. I'm here to tell you the truth. And pray that if somebody's listening to this, it cuts you to the heart. Rattles you. Wakes you up. You look at where you're at, you look at your church at, you look at your pastor up there, that is compromising God's word to preach something totally different. This is part 10. And we're going into spiritual warfare here, guys. We're talking, it's part 10, and I don't know how long this series is going to be. Pretty long, I'm believing. We'll just keep on tracking until the Holy Spirit says move on to something different. I think this is probably going to be my longest series of the year. I've started it last year. I took a little break around Christmas time, but this is part 10. I don't know how far it's going to end up, but I want to tell you guys, spiritual warfare. You cannot get enough of this. You need to, this is something that's very principal that you need to have a firm understanding of what spiritual warfare is. Somebody walks up to you and say, hey, what's spiritual warfare? You should not have to stutter. You should not have to guess. You should not have to scratch your head. You should be able to define it on the spot. And you should be able to take scriptures. And now, part one, I encourage you guys to go back. Listen to part one. If you haven't, follow all the way up to this part 10. If not, you're going to miss the full message of what God has for you. This is part 10. We will be in Ephesians 6, 13 to 14. That's Ephesians 6, 13 to 14. But before we go into this, I just want to do a little recap from last week. We went over preparation, training, right? And of course, this whole series is about preparation, training. This series is focused on having a solid, right, a grounded in God's word. I want your roots deep in God's word, more than a man's voice. See, when we bypass God's word and listen to a man that's speaking, and he starts speaking opposite what God's word says, then we are supposed to call them out on it. Not sit there and endorse them. Not sit there and applaud them. Not sit there and give them our hard-earned money. No, we call them out. And we looked at how life is a wrestling match. Right? And how well organized and how well trained and prepared is our spiritual enemy, Satan, and his host of demons at his command. He is pulling the strings of those who can we can visually see physically. Satan is no joke, guys. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal everything he can that you hold precious in your life. You could be holding your wife precious, or you may hold your husband precious. Guess what? He wants your wife. He wants your husband. You may have children. He wants your children. Oh, how we should be doing Bible studies in our home with our family, doing a one-on-one study with our wife, and then doing a group study for our children. You know, that's important. Just doing, having God's word radiate through our family. Are you doing that? I pray that you are. But Satan is no joke. He's been doing this for a long time. We, you know, we went into Genesis and we talked about Genesis at least probably 4 or 5 hours on that. And I do go back and I refer back to that because it's very important to understand the fall of humanity, to understand spiritual warfare on humanity. But just last week, now, unless you're under a rock, and maybe you are under a rock, and I know most preachers are not going to be preaching on this Sunday, because it's just, in America, it's just how it is. Preachers do not, majority of the preachers today, do not stand like they should on God's word. But we are supposed to call out things around us. And last Sunday, there's the Grammys, and the Grammys is the ultimate music award ceremony, represented by all music artists, right? But there's this guy, his name is Sam Smith, full name Samuel Franklin Smith, UK gay pop star, with Kim Petras, a German singer, a German songwriter, and he I call Kim Petras a he, although, and when I say that, he was born male, but over the years, he's had transgender transitional surgery to look like a woman. And when you look at Kim Petras, she looks, or he looks just like a woman, but he is a he. And you will hear that word transgender woman, and that simply mean that he, Kim Petras, is a male, can't change your DNA. But he felt like he was a woman, so he started the transition to become a woman, and now he looks just like a woman. Of course, we should keep him in our prayers, because Satan has his mind wrapped so deeply in a delusion. So you got Sam Smith here, you got Kim Petras, and along with their crew on set of the Grammy, performing a satanic, and there's no other way to call this, a satanic, a demonic ritual. And of course, I had to watch it, just, you know, just research purposes, and I'm telling you, I got sick to my stomach looking at it. And I want to caution you, you don't have to take my word for it. You're like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to go watch it. Just pray up. Get your mind right when you watch it. Because it's very, very, it's demonic. When you watch it, if you truly are a child of God, you will feel Satan's presence all over that. And if you don't want to take my word for it, you can, you know, it's social media galore today. You can go and look. The song was called Unholy. It was definitely demonic. And the sad truth, after the performance, all you hear is mass cheering going on. They were all worshiping Satan that was there. And what's most disheartening is there were Christian band and Christian artists that were there engaging in the satanic worship. They were there. They were sitting there. They were listening to this. And then all you hear in the crowd is applause. Now, I don't know if they were applauding. I don't know what they were doing. Honestly, they should have got up and walked out. It's been about 5 days ago. I haven't heard any of these professing Christian band or artists, or Christian bands and artists, speak against this evil. Silence. They sat there and they listened to this. They sat there, and if they didn't get up and say anything indirectly, they're silenced. They were still there, part of that satanic demonic worship. They were part of it. A few names here that I could, through my research, I could find. I don't want to put names out there that weren't there. And I know a lot of the social media, they're trying to wipe everything clean as much as they can. It's sad. But the ones that won was Maverick City. I want to encourage you guys, you listen to these guys, stop. If they can sit there and worship Satan like that. Elevation Worship's another one. Toby Mac was there. Kirk Franklin, and this ones I could what, and you guys may know some more, but they were there. They were sitting in the crowd. They were listening to the satanic performance. They did, and at this point in time, they have not said anything to repute this. In reality, there was more there, but they're all silent, and this tells us where these guys, where their hearts truly lie. I know Toby Mac. I've listened to multiple songs throughout the years. I am not planning to share his songs anymore, to be honest with you. Or Maverick City. He'll probably hope everything will fade away. And it's like Lori Daigle when she was saying homosexuality was okay. I haven't shared her songs anymore after that. Not saying God can't still use them, but this is their mindset, guys. And now I don't know where their mind is. I don't know if their mind is set on that money. I can't speak for that. I cannot say that their mind is set on their fame and glory. I can't say that their minds are focused on getting that Grammy so they can put it up in their case and say, oh, look at me, how wonderful and awesome I am. All I can speak of is the demonic that was there and them not coming out and saying anything about it. I want to tell you, and I'm not going to speak highly of myself, but if I was privileged to be at a ceremony to try to point people to God, and that's the ultimate way of doing it, is you're in a secular Grammy kind of setting. It's not a Christian setting, it's secular. There's going to be a ton of people lost there. This is an opportunity. See, when Maverick City and them got on stage, there was no talk about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, how he died for our sins. No. Once again, they act just like the world. Therefore, we conclude they are part of the world. Now, if their lyrics may, you know, God can still use their music. He can still use a person that is out in the world that is lost, and that can say something or do a Christian song with a beautiful voice, and people can come to Christ. It doesn't do nothing for their salvation, though. But I can't speak for their salvation. I can't speak. I wasn't there. All I can do is pull from what I've been reading and what I've been studying on it. And once again, it's hard. You know, the farther we get out, the more social media will kind of stop that. But I want to get, what I'm getting at, guys, is Satan is no joke. At that point in time, all them professing Christian artists or bands there partake in satanic worship. Regardless if they indirectly or directly, their silence was no excuse. They still participated in satanic worship. And that's how cunning Satan is. No joke. But I want to tell you, if you truly have the Holy Spirit in you, when you're looking at something like that, there is a grieving of your soul. And I want to tell you, somebody that truly have God in their life, and that He is the centerpiece truly of their life, we have not stayed there exposed to that darkness. See, the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit directs us. The Holy Spirit will prepare us for war. The Holy Spirit will train us to walk every day in the light and ready to battle against the darkness. And when we are confronted with that darkness, like something like that, the Holy Spirit grieves, and we're sitting there accepting that we get grieved. Second, the Holy Spirit may prompt us if we have an opportunity like Maverick City did, because they won so many. I don't think they won like 4 Grammys. They had the opportunity to get up there and to rebuke that evil, but they didn't. They acknowledge it. They accepted it by their silence. And they haven't came out with nothing to say about it. And I don't expect them to. I fear they will do as everything else. They will wait for time to roll by and people will forget about it. I'm going to tell you, I won't forget about it. Because I am careful on music I share. I listen to the lyrics. A lot of their stuff are pretty solid. But looking at that, they're not solid. And they're not solid. They're not putting the armor of God on. They probably couldn't even tell you what the armor of God is. They couldn't probably tell you how the Holy Spirit truly should operate by using God's word. And I'm just speculating here. By their inaction. Their inaction reflects their actions, right? Now, this is controversial. People probably ain't going to want to hear this. Most preachers today will not even touch the topic. And there's a reason, because people will tune them out. Why? Because America is compromising true Christianity, true biblical Christianity. The church is compromising true Christianity and substituting it for something that is satanic, that is not godly, that is not biblical. they will not hit you with the truth. And today we look at our first piece of armor. And the point and the goal of this sermon / teaching is to emphasize the importance of each piece of armor and how this prepares us to wage a good warfare. I want to tell you, those guys at the Grammy did not wage a good warfare. They had opportunity, especially Maverick City, to rebuke that evil, to rebuke Sam Smith and Kim Petra. They would have got booed. And they might have lost their label, and they might have lost their fame, but at least they would have been standing for something. Of course, pray for these guys in Maverick City. Pray for Elevation Worship. Pray for Toby Mac. Pray for Kurt Franklin. And there was other artists that were nominated. I don't know if they were there. But Chris Towley was nominated. Lady A was nominated, which she's not really a Christian artist, but she actually, her family are bluegrass Christian artists. We have really beautiful music. A lot of her music is not Christian. What was the other band that was nominated? I can't think of the other. But the goal is to, today is to look at the purpose, to emphasize the importance of armor and how this prepares us for good warfare. And Ephesians 6, 13, 14, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at those scriptures. That's Ephesians 6, 13 through 14. It says, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come to you, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just getting into your word. Lord, we lift your name above any other. Lord, we cling to your truth, your absolute truth. For the word of God should be our foundation. When we're looking at things, how to respond in this life, to make decisions in this life, we should cling to your ultimate truth. Our opinions does not matter. Our feelings does not matter. Your word is what is solid, and it can cut like a sword, but it is truth. And we cling to that. For your word lights our path. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the strength that he gives each and every one of his children to stand up against darkness. As this world continues on its path to ultimate annihilation, ultimate embracing the one world government, the one world religion, this ecumenical movement of let's all worship a God that is not the God of the Bible, but we will try to compromise to try to include all religions under one umbrella. Oh, this is how the Antichrist will operate. The last Antichrist that will walk this earth, and he's walking right now on this earth, and he is preparing his one world religion. Oh, we are on the cusps of this. We are on the cusps of a one world government. This is all going to be set up. It's going to be implemented, for your word tells us this. Oh, if we would just be students of your word. Oh, how we should cling to your word more than anything else. How our life should be saturated with God's word more than anything else. Oh, if we do this, we draw nearer. We draw nearer to you. We buy deeper in your truth. Your eyes are opened to all deception, all the wiles that Satan can lay out there for us. Give us strength, God. Sweet Holy Spirit, move over this study and over these other studies that you have placed on my heart to do, to whoever that may hear these studies. God, we lift your name above any other. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you know those that are listening. Holy Spirit, you know them that will accept the truth and that will look at your word and they will say, God's word is true. And they will look at that messenger proclaiming God's word and say, he is true because he is pointing to God's truth, not his own. Thus said God, thus said his word. If you don't like it, then that's on you. Lord God, give us strength, I pray. Amen. Ephesians 6:13-14, right? I want to tell you, brother, and I want to tell you, sister, our brothers and sisters, when we step out in our day, every day as a Christian, a true Christian, right? A true disciple, a soldier of Jesus Christ, Satan and his demons, they have plans for our lives. They look at what they can lay, they lay and they try to lay out traps every day. But we don't have to fall for them. Verse 13, that first part says, wherefore take up on you the whole armor of God. Take the whole armor of God, not just one piece, a whole. This is not a suggestion. This is not a whimsical of opinion. Is telling you what you need to do. The Holy Spirit is moving through Paul to pen this letter, and he's saying he's telling us, he's telling those that are reading, is telling us today, this is a action set forth. This order is given. If you ignore this order, you will face Satan on your own strength. You will face Satan on your own ground. I want to tell you, if you face Satan in your own strength, you will fail. You will fail. If you face Satan in your own ground, it will become quicksand. I don't know if you ever seen how quicksand works. Maybe on television or on the internet. Maybe you read an article, looked at pictures. Once somebody gets in this quicksand, the more they struggle, right? That is their own strength. The quicker they will sink. But if someone was throw that person in that situation a rope for them to grab, you can look at that rope as a lifeline. If that person refuses and say, you know, I got this. I don't need this lifeline. Take it away. They will sink. But those that accept this help, they will survive that situation. Oh, how I cannot help but think of Matthew 7:24-27. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and do them, I will be like him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And verse 25 says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat up on the house. It fell not, for it was founded upon what? A rock. These two verses here, Jesus Christ is saying, whoever is hearing what I'm saying, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, and I encourage you, if you guys have never read through the Sermon on the Mount, it starts in Matthew 5, and it works its way up here to Matthew 7. But, you know, he's giving these sayings, and he's saying, if you're hearing these, what I'm telling you, you will be like this wise man, or you're like this wise person who's building his house on a rock that is a solid foundation. And we'll tell you, Jesus gave hard truths. You don't believe me? Just listen to this. Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up on for yourself the treasures in heaven, where either moth nor rust do corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay not the treasures that we can gain on this earth, the things that the material things that we can get, that moth and rust, they can corrupt and thieves can break in, they can steal. But Jesus says, but lay up for treasures in heaven. And then at that last part, it said, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart. This passage was not popular in Jesus' time. It's not popular today, I promise you. Selfishness was prevalent then as it is prevalent today. Never say that Jesus Christ was not intense. Just read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus hit people with the truth. They didn't like to hear it, but he gave it anyway. It led to his death, right? They would rather have a murderer released. See, after Jesus was scourged, meaning beaten to almost to death, whooped to death, Pilate is going to give the crowd the opportunity to release Jesus, which he did no wrong. He was sinless. He had no guilt. But there was this murderer, this killer, Barabbas. They said, release Barabbas. Release this murder. Release. I'd rather have that murder in our midst. Then Jesus Christ telling us the truth. I'm telling you, that spirit is prevalent today as it was then. I'm going to tell you, when we're telling the truth, the absolute truth, I'm going to get into that a little bit more, they will say, we do not want it. The majority of Americans, even those in the church, do not want to hear the real truth. They want to hear a version of the truth. And as time progresses, the world's truth will be prevalent in church more than God's truth. But just think about it. They're saying, release Barabbas, this murderer. And what do they want to do to Jesus Christ? Crucify him. I say all that. Jesus Christ was intense. He hit people with the truth. They would not have not been screaming, crucify him, if he was preaching something they all enjoyed to hear. In their mindset, who they were looking for was a warrior that would overthrow the Roman government. And Jesus didn't fit that bill. That second part, verse in Matthew 7, verse 26 through 27, gives that counter to the man, the wise man who built his house up on the rock. Here it says, and everyone that hear these sayings of mine, do them not, shall be. And Jesus said, this is what you will be. Likened unto a foolish man. You hear me, preachers today in the pulpit said, here's God's word. If you do not follow it, you are as stupid as you can imagine you could be. For God's word is plain. He said, and this foolish man, this stupid man, this man who did not want to, he would hear God's truth and he would say, it would go out of one ear, out of the other, as we would say today. He built his house upon the sand. And verse 27 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat up on the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I'll tell you, if you do not hear the words that God has for you today, you are that man, you are that woman who's building their house upon the sand. And when storms come in this life, when the Antichrist comes in this life, your house will fall. But Jesus says your house does not have to fall. You can build it upon the rock. You don't have to build it on that sinking sand. No, you can have the Holy Spirit moving and thriving throughout your life that allows you to operate in the way you need to operate, to have that house firmly built upon that rock. You can have that lifeline. You don't have to stay in that quicksand and keep sinking. God gives us the armor here, the armor of God. And with that armor of God, we become active. It's activated in life. And when it's activated in our life, we can wage that good warfare against darkness. We can be that light in the ultimate darkness that is surrounding America, that is surrounding the world, that is in the Grammys or surrounding them Christian artists. It just tells me two things. One, they didn't know no better, and that's just being, maybe they didn't. Of course, if they have the Holy Spirit, there would be a grieving of the Holy Spirit, because he would say, that's not right. And just watching the video, I could hardly watch it, man. It was just appalling. But these guys just sat there during the whole thing and watched it. I just don't get it. Maybe they just don't know better. Maybe the second part, they do. And you just don't care. After 5 and almost 6 days of silence on this matter, there's a lot of people talking about it, but the ones there, I ain't really mentioning anything about it other than the secular world. Satan, his followers are, you know, I look at it just more dedicated, more determined. They're more out in your face. They're more likely to be promoting their satanic product and their satanic worship than us Christians. We're just cowards. We bow down to the world. Majority of American Christianity are cowards. They bow down to God's, they bow down to this world. No fight, no fuss. Oh, okay, we'll go along with it. Stink in God's nostrils, that's all that is. Sad. And yes, you may hear this. Honestly, I'm not here to be popular, to make you happy. There's thousands and thousands of preachers that are going to bust hell wide open for preaching that happy gospel to you. I'm not here. I'm here to equip you, to prepare you, to get your mind right. Armor of God. And verse 13 says, wherefore take up you the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The Holy Spirit moving in us. The armor of God is something that is supposed to be active every day in our life. It's something we do not leave home without. And we're about to get into that first part here. Verse 14 says, is your loins girded with truth. Now when we look at this first piece of the armor God's word tells us put on. It's here. It's your loins girded about with truth. Now, I know I've preached on this quite a few times, probably 3 or 4 times during this website. the common context here refers to Paul's referring to a Roman soldier's attire and equipment. He knows those reading this letter would be very familiar with the Roman soldiers, their attire and their equipment. Wintertime, very, you know, if you look at the, you read Roman soldier history and all, wintertime soldiers wore a long robe, a tunic. Easy. First thing a soldier would do for if they were going into battle, this is what they would get this term, gird up his loins. And simply he would lift up the robe up and he would tuck it in a belt. That was very important, this girding, that tucking of the robe in the belt, because it was firmly securing that robe, so in battle they would not lose their footing. I know when we hear that, if you think your loins girded with truth, you will hear most preachers, and I have, we just call this the belt of truth, and that helps us kind of give a visual representation of this, is this is your belt of truth. And most of us, we can relate to a belt, right? Most men, we wear belts for our pants, even for our shorts. And normally your overall purpose of a belt is to hold something together, to hold your pants, to hold your shorts. And now, yet sometimes may today, especially for women, there is a, it can be a fashion statement, but men can also be using a different style belt for a fashion statement. But usually the main purpose is to hold something together. Also with a belt, one can attach things to. For example, I work as a maintenance tech, so I carry a box cutter, have my phone, I have my keys on my belt. At work, I use my box cutter like crazy, just doing maintenance. My phone is usually attached to my belt, so I have it on me. My keys are normally attached onto my belt, too. So, that's all that stuff is attached onto my belt that I know right where it's at. Now, if I left home without my belt, without my keys, without my phone, without my box cutter, my day actually gets a whole lot more challenging. Gotta have keys to crank my car up at, you know, home. I got to get to work. I have to have my keys at my work vehicle at work. So when I get to work, I take those keys and I put them on my regular keychain. So I got to have those. So and it just helps me. Like for instance, if I'm just carrying my work keys around all the time, and I throw them here and I throw them there, I can lose my keys, but I attach them onto my belt so I know where they're at all times. So I don't. It's one less thing I have to keep track of. Well, I'm getting at that belt is very important for to attach other things onto. Same thing with our belt of truth here. Our truth. Surrounds us. Our truth holds everything else together, and there's a reason why truth is mentioned first in the armor of God, and then everything else attaches onto that truth. You do not want to leave home without any of it. Now, you will, when somebody's preaching, and I've listened number of sermons on this. You know, they talk about the Roman soldiers, and they talk about it just being a belt of truth. But really where they start, where things start breaking down is when they're trying, when it comes to define truth, this is where a lot of them will start voiding. And this is just our day. This is our culture. They're voiding it on purpose because it's controversial. Today's culture, today's truth, I guess. Here's the thing. It says, when it, your truth, right? Your truth does not have to be my truth. Now, that is, you will hear that. You will hear that more and more. Your truth is not my truth. What may be true for you may not be true for me. The culture today, especially here in America, and I'm pretty sure in other countries too, is there is no absolute truth. For instance, if you feel like a woman and you are a man, that is your truth, not my truth. And you flip that around, if you feel like a man, all right, but you're a woman, then, yeah. So you just think of Kim Petra. She was born male. She just says she, you know, reading articles and stuff, he said he did not feel like a male, so he went to the transition at a very young age in his teens, in the transition to become a female. That's, and a lot of people say that's his truth. And guess what? He is glorified for that. Don't think he isn't. And I'll tell you, the more prevalent this ideal will become, and most preachers will avoid it like the plague. But one day they will have to make a decision to preach the reality of it or go along with the reality of the world's truth. Biblical truth or worldly truth. Now, I'm not speaking about personal opinion here. If you think chocolate is the best ice cream ever, and I love chocolate ice cream, but you may prefer vanilla or strawberry or some other crazy color. They got coffee and they got... That's your personal opinion. That's not truth. Pulled up a definition here in dictionary.com. Divine's truth like this. It says, and just listen to this definition. It says, the true or actual state of matter. Conformity with a fact or reality. A verified or indisputable fact, a proposition, principle, or the like. So when we hear this, just look at these words. It said, what comes to mind? Truth is verified, indisputable fact, or a principle, not a personal opinion. Of course, you will have those come out and say, well, the Bible is just your personal opinion. And it's important to engage these people that do say that. Why, when you say that, especially if somebody's professing to know God, to be a Christian, for a true Christian will cling to a absolute truth, not to a relative truth. Now, here's the two terms here: absolute truth, relative truth. I knew this was going to be a long one. I actually divided it up, but absolute truth here. What is absolute truth? What is a relative truth? Relatives, R-E-L-A-T-I-V-E, truth. Relative truth here, guys. This is a belief that truth changes based on one's understanding of it. That is relative truth. That is the main truth of the world today, and that will grow. That's the same thing as saying your truth is not my truth. If you believe that you are a man trapped in a woman's body and you want to become a transgender, that's your truth, not mine. So, have at it. I praise you for your choice. That's relative truth. That's the truth that is creeping into the churches. And it will steady increase until the very end. Absolute truth, though. Opposite of relative truth. It says, truth is true regardless how you think or feel about the truth. Meaning, your opinion, your thought, and your feeling about the truth doesn't change the fact that is true. As a true Christian, a true follower, a true soldier, that we cling to the absolute truth. And what I'm doing is I'm going to be breaking down some absolute truths in the next few sessions in coming up. And I'm not going to go through all absolute truths in the Bible, which that would ought be. I definitely need to probably form a sermon series on that, on absolute truths. Because the more the world, especially here in America, grows darker and darker, absolute truths are going to disappear. And we need men of God to stand up and say, this is what absolute truth is. For example, God created him male, and he created male and female. That is a absolute truth. Biology, don't lie. You don't even have to be a true Christian to say, hey, God created, you got an XX and XY chromosome. They cannot change. You may can change everything physically. You can look like a woman. You can get your breast implant. You can do this the surgery on your genitalia. There is even studies where they're working on trying to get uterus. That is where you can carry a baby implanted into these males that believe they're women. But they will not change your DNA. This is the absolute truth in science, biologically, unless they change, and they probably will try to change biology up. But they can't really change the XX and the XY chromosome. That's just, there ain't nothing they can get past that point. God created male and female. Regardless how that male wants to change his body to look like a female. And if you look at Kim Petra, she looks just like a woman. I mean, when I seen her, I was like, man, I would have never known that she once was a man or a boy or whatever. Absolute truth. He created male and female. Your opinion does not matter on that. Your thought on the matter does not matter. God's word is the final authority. But I want to draw your attention, and this is going to be a long video, or a long sermon, but it'll be all right. John 14:6. And I'm going to probably go through this a little bit, but I want to just hit on this absolute truth. John 14:6. And Jesus Christ tells us here in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is absolute truth, guys. There is only one way. There is only one truth. There is only one life. This way, this truth, this life only comes from Jesus Christ, who is that bridge to the Father, to the biblical God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that have created everything, the all-knowing, the all-power, he is all-presence. He is God of the Bible. And Jesus says, he is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life but what is going on today. We're here preachers that will outnumber preachers like me, and their audience is praising them all. Because why? They're setting them up for the Antichrist. They're setting them up for the one world religion where we all can compromise John 14:6 and say that's not relevant. That Jesus Christ is not the only way. That Jesus Christ is not the only truth. That Jesus Christ is not the only life. Oh, there's multiple ways. And there's multiple truths. And there's multiple lives. All of this is a slippery slope that leads straight to the gates of hell. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given unto man whereby we must be saved. Oh, I tell you, that one name, and that only name, is the name of Jesus Christ. John 3:16-21, when we look at that, he says in verse 16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but what have everlasting life." Oh, he is the only life. He is everlasting life. He said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." And verse 18 says, "And he that believe on him is not condemned. He that believe not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." Here is that name. In the name of the only begotten Son of God, we know that only name is Jesus Christ. You go up there, Acts 4:12 again, you read that. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, that's humanity, whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. His name is Jesus Christ. He was given to this world. He was that perfect Lamb of God. He was blameless. He was the sinless Lamb of God given to this filthy world, so we shall have that opportunity to come to him, so we do not have to perish. We don't have to go to this place, eternal torment that we call hell. We can have this everlasting life, heaven. We have to believe, though. We have to believe that God sent his only Son. Well, that means we have to place that faith, that trust in Jesus Christ. That is the active thing. We have to believe. We have to trust. We have to step into that faith that he sent his Son, born of a Virgin Mary, that walked this earth for, most scholars put about 3.5 years. Some will put it lesser, but it doesn't matter. He walked, and he walked this life. He committed no wrong. He sinned not. He was the blameless Lamb of God. He walked this earth. It led him to the cross of Calvary, where he had to die for the sins of this world, the sins that I have committed, the sins that you have committed. Oh, how this world does not want to talk about sin, how they want to just gloss it over. I'm going to tell you, God died for this world. He died for all. He died for all the sins of this world. His blood was poured out up on Mount Calvary for you and me. For his grace, his mercy endures forever and ever. He is light. I am dark until I come to that light. Oh, that saving light of God. He made that bridge through the cross of Calvary, where he took my sin upon that cross. He bore my sin. He bore my shame. He died. He was removed from that cross. And he was placed in that tomb, and on that third day he rose from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? There is none. For death for a child of God is a beginning of something beautiful. For the scriptures tell us in Corinthians, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what he has prepared for those that love him, that truly love him, that does not love the things of this world. No, they do not love the things of this world. Why? Because we're just pilgrims passing through. Oh, I'm waiting for my ultimate destination. Oh, my place in heaven with my heavenly Father. Oh, I do not get comfortable with the things of this life. I forsake them all. I point my life to the one that gave his for me. Verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. So, and we don't have to try to figure out what condemnation here. It tells us in the scripture. Thus God's word, that light is coming into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And for everyone that do evil, hate the light. Those that partake in evil, they hate the light. neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Meaning the conviction of the Holy Spirit hits you and calls that reprovement. But he that do true comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. They are wrought in God, meaning they are from God. Humanity loves darkness. This world loves darkness. Let's look at the Grammy and they're applauding this darkness, this satanic ritual. Darkness is surrounding the crowd and they're praising it. The Christians in the crowd are praising it, even though they're not shouting it. They're there and they are accepting it. They're not speaking up against it. Oh, Satan is clever. Everyone that continues to live in darkness is evil. I don't care how well you want to call yourself. You call yourself Christian until you're blue in your face. Your love of darkness is stronger than the love of God. Your love in living your sin is stronger than living away from your sin. The truth is not in you. You are the father of Satan. Oh, yes, I went there. You probably do not like that. That's reality. But I want to tell you, if you're endorsing that demonic, you're endorsing that evil, at that point in time, the love of the Father is not in you. But if you're striving daily to walk in the light, sin truly grieves you hard as a child of God. And it should. And I'm going to... And we already went over that hour mark here, but I'm going to get into the second part of this, or not really second, the next part, be part 11. I'm going to start working on that one, and we're going to just talk about, continue talking about absolute truth, and we're going to look at sin. A whole sermon on sin. You don't hear much that preached in a pulpit, but it's the absolute truth, sin. It's a fundamental principle that we need to grab onto, that truth. Wrapping this up, guys. Satan is demons. They are no joke. Just look at example. I mean, there are so many examples throughout the week. Demonic activity is increasing on levels that I can't even express, guys. I expose myself to a lot. It wears me out sometimes to look at all this demonic. To do it, just be able to bring, to say, hey, demonic is increasing. And it's a sign and time of our age. But just look at the Grammys. All those supposedly Christian artists supposed to be, they speak a good game. I've listened to many of their songs. But I won't tell you on that night, they all became Satan worshipers. And up to this time, none of them have rebuked this demonic performance by Sam Smith and Kilpatrick. Not one. This is sad. But this should be a sobering thought when we look at our culture here in America. And it's a reflection course on our life. Are we representing Christ to those around us? Are we compromising who we are in Christ? Them guys at Grammy, they compromised who they were in Christ. And we can do the same thing. We can do the same thing in our business, in our career, in our job, within our family. We're just going to the supermarket, going to the gas station. What's happening? We're not armoring up. We're not armoring up. Every morning, and whatever that morning may look at, we are supposed to be arming ourselves. This is a direct command. This is a direct order that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to us. Are you girding your loins with truth? Are you praying, Lord, as I go out into this world. Keep my eyes firmly on your truth. Lord, help me not compromise who I am in Christ. See, this armor, I believe, and Paul, honestly, if Paul was living today, I truly believe he would agree with this, is lacking in majority of your so-called churches, your so-called professing believers. They don't understand true biblical, well, truth, I guess you could say. And some may understand it and choose to ignore it. Then if they ignore God's word, where are they, right? Think of the wise man and the foolish man. That's the wise person, the foolish person. And I encourage you, if you guys never read the Sermon on the Mount, it's very important. You look at that. It shows you that Jesus was a very intense on a lot of levels preaching. He was, honestly, if he was physically walking the earth, he would not get invited to preach at many churches today here in America. And that's a bold statement. That's fine. Make you mad? Go ahead. Let it make you mad. Truth's going to hurt every time. He preached on stuff like Matthew 6:19-21 that I read. It's about don't lay your treasures upon earth. People love their money. The root of all evil is the love of money, right? Or something like that. It goes something like that. It's the love of money is the root of all evil, meaning you let your money dictate your love of God. And that last part of Matthew 6:19-21 says, for that last part, 21, for where your treasure is, there's your heart. Look around you. Where do you give majority of your money to? It ain't no secret. You look at your budget. Jesus says, not Jonathan Ritter, and you will not hear preachers talk about this because they want to keep their jobs. I'd rather preach on the side of the road to one person than compromise to hundreds and hundreds or thousands of people or millions to tell them exactly what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. But look at it. Where your money at? Where your treasures? There's your heart. Jesus was intense, guys. He hit people with the truth. That's why he says, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He is the absolute truth, and he is the, well, you can say he's the absolute way, he's the absolute truth, he's absolute life, and he is that bridge to the Father. There is no other way to cross that bridge and to be saved other than in the name of Jesus Christ. When people start saying there's multiple ways to come to be saved, multiple ways to be saved, then there's issues. There's only one name that saves you. Not my opinion again, guys. Acts, and I could have went in more scriptures, and we already went over an hour now. But Acts 4:12, look at God's word. Let him determine through his scripture, not your personal opinion. That's why I'm getting it. It drives me crazy when we look at truth. people want to inject their personal opinion. What does God's word say? Act 4:12 said, neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given to man whereby we shall be saved. And you look at the contents, it's pointing straight to Jesus Christ. You look at John 3:16-21. I can keep on going on. There's only one name. There's only one absolute truth that will save you. I don't care what this world will tell you. I don't care what your preacher will tell you. If he tells you there's more than one way to be saved, and it's not, you don't have to go this one way, and there's multiple truths, and your truth can be different than somebody else's truth, I'm telling you, he has injected into that church through the means of Satan, which is the same Satan at the Grammys that injected that among all the Christian artists there that should have been standing up and saying, no, this ain't correct. They should have walked out. Maverick City should have stand up on God's word and say, hey, you know that performance there, guys? Y'all applauded it, but let me tell you that the word of God would not approve of that performance. The word of God tells us to shun all that evil. The word of God tells us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for this world. And that's a sign here that darkness that was y'all are applauding, it tells us in John 3:16-21, that men love darkness. You love darkness, but I'm telling you that darkness will send you straight to the pits of hell. In hell, you will be tormented for the rest of your life. There is no coming back from that. But I want to tell you, God gives us a rescue line. He has the light that shines so bright. He is the rescuer. He will rescue you from that darkness. I'll tell you today, if you just come to that light, this darkness that you're embracing, this darkness that you're embracing will leave you empty, will leave you depressed. In the end, it will leave you miserable. But I want to tell you, there's a hope that you cannot understand, but I want to tell you. I want to tell you about it, brother. I want to tell you about it, sister. If you come to him, you will be my brother. If you come to him, you will be my sister. But if you deny him, you are not my brother and you are not my sister in Christ. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He's the only life. And when you start standing on truth like this, you will get railroaded. You will get cursed. You will be persecuted. And then possibly here in America, you may end up looking at the prison cell. But we count the cost, right? I didn't even get into the cost part. I'm just saying, there's a cost. There's a cost in following Jesus. There's a cost in standing on absolute truth. And are you standing on it? Are you girding your loins with truth? Do you have that belt of truth on when you walk out those doors? I pray that you do. I pray that you cling to passages like John 14:6 and Matthew 6:19-21, right? And of course John 3:16-21 and Acts 4:12. And of course her main passage this week, Ephesians 6:13-14, and of course we're going to go into more absolute truth, so this just going to be a continuation of this sermon. So I encourage you to listen to this, write your notes. We'll pick up on what is sin as a absolute truth and go into that a little bit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray that we are clinging to the gospel. We are clinging to your truth, your way, and your life. We're not clinging to a man's word. A man's word, especially a preacher preaching in the pulpit or whatever it may be, is gauged what comes out of his mouth to what God's words say. And when his words contradict God's word, then he is at wrong. And he needs to be called out on it. Give us boldness to confront those that misrepresent God's word. Give us strength be an ever penetrating light to the darkness. The opportunities we hear around us to let our light shine, let it shine. Those opportunities that were missed at the Grammy Sunday, it breaks my heart. Millions could have been exposed to the gospel. Would it cost Maverick City their career? Possible. Have they counted the cost? Probably not. We pray over them, God. We pray over Maverick City, that the Holy Spirit just convicts their hearts. We pray over Toby Mack and Kurt Franklin. We pray over the other ones there that we don't even know. They're trying to keep it secret. We pray they can try to keep it secret from us. They can't keep it secret from you. Convict their hearts. If they are yours, there's such a conviction that they will not be able to be silent about it. Because that conviction is strong. That scourging of the Holy Spirit is painful. They will feel like they were about to die and they will have to say something. But if they're not, there will be silence and cover up. And this should be an indication of noticing who they are really. And this is not being judgmental. This is being discernment, which is missed in many churches today. When you start being discernment of people, of preachers and pastors and music groups, people immediately want to attack you and say you're being judging. No. You tell us to be discernment. Discerning of spirits. You said by their fruits you will know them. And when I look at the fruits at the Grammys with these artists, we know. We can know them at that point. And their silence indicates their allegiance. Their true allegiance. This is not being judgmental, this is just pointing the truth. And I know in today's world, men like me will be railroad for speaking that, but that's fine. We know that you are coming soon. We know that the way this world is wrapping up, people just don't even realize the devastation that's about to hit America and rip her apart. Will her name still be America when it comes? I don't know. May not. Lord, I pray those that are truly yours, that we grasp the signs of our time and to girt our loins with this truth. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your day, your night. If you have questions, please email me. If you do email me, just make sure you put it in the link, because it may go to junk mail. If it goes to junk mail, then I won't be able to see it. If you're part of my Facebook group, know that Facebook regulates my traffic. I guess I don't know if I should be privileged on that part of it. I guess on small fries compared to the bigger fries, but obviously they seen they need to regulate my reach through their media. They just regulate, what we call shadow banning my ministry. But yeah, you can send me a private message. Now, sometimes my believe it or not, private messages don't go through sometimes. It's just amazing what's going on. But some of you guys, that's why I started my website, so you can email me. It goes straight to my email, but make sure you put Wake Up America Church Ministries. And if it does go to junk mail, if I don't see it, just send me another email. If you have my private phone number, you can definitely call me or send me a message. And if you on Messenger, you can always send me a message through Messenger. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day or night. Remember, guys, let your light shine. Be a voice. Be a man or a woman of God standing on truth.